Progressive presents Forced Metaphors about bundling your home and auto.
In sports, three goals is a hat trick. And when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, you get a hat trick of great savings and round-the-clock protection. So you might be thinking, wait, that's two things. A hat trick is three. But in this metaphor, great savings counts as two goals, and so does round-the-clock protection. So it's like four goals, and that's more than three. It's basic math.
Forced Metaphors, presented by Progressive. Bundle and protect today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And the title of our message tonight is Can't You Feel the Kingdom Coming?
Read His words, heed His signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall shines from east to west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, Hallelujah. sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Create up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Amen. And boy, Carl, you're right. I can feel the kingdom coming. I can feel the Lord coming back soon. You can just feel it. You know it could happen any time now. So here, often I get questions. I get a lot of questions from people all the time. One is, do you think that he is coming back soon? Well, you think he's coming back soon? I do. I believe he's going to come back soon. Is the Antichrist here now? I believe he is. Do you feel like something really big is about to take place? Yeah. We are moving towards the Babylon, that great whore, Mystery Babylon, in a hurry. That's the with Klaus Schwab and those people, that's what this whole thing is. The United Nations, it is Mystery Babylon, and we're moving there on a fast track. And so, are you sure that the church won't go through the tribulation period? Well, there would be no reason for the church to go through the tribulation period. And the Bible says time and time again, over and over, that the church would be spared the wrath to come. And so, and again, if you take a look at and Revelation chapter 4, where you see that John, he gets caught up, that's a type of the rapture of the church. You don't see that the church goes to heaven, and you don't see them talking. The church isn't mentioned again all the way till you get back to Revelation 19 is when the church is coming back. It's coming back to earth. And so, folks, in order to come back to a place, you first have to leave that place. And so, yeah, I truly believe that the church will be raptured out before the Great Tribulation. But there's a difference between persecution and tribulation. And what we're seeing right now, those things that the Bible's talking about, is the days of sorrows. Now, here we see that the wicked are becoming more wicked and the righteous are becoming more righteous. Scripture says, let the wicked be wicked still and the righteous be righteous still. Yeah, that is happening for sure. We're seeing that for sure. And here, the question is, that a sure sign of a soon return? I believe it is. Can those that took the kill shot still be saved, seeing as their DNA was changed and they're not completely human anymore? Well, they were made in the image of God and they belong to God, and I believe that they can still be saved, yes. Do we have a real mansion waiting for us in heaven? Well, that's what the Lord Jesus said. He said he went to prepare us a place, and let me tell you, he always keeps his word. He's got a perfect record of doing exactly what he said he would do. If they force the mark of the beast on us through the kill shots, will we lose our salvation? No, you can't lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. And as far as taking the mark of the beast, you have to take it voluntarily. That is your way of showing that you are your worship for the Antichrist. Now, and then one of the last questions they ask me now is, how soon will they do away with our cash? How soon will on the money supply be cut off. And they're looking to do this very quickly. It could be coming, I mean, within weeks even. So here, let's start out tonight in Luke 21, starting with verses 25 through 37. Now, we're going to see that the things are happening out there today, like in the song there, when he was talking about solar flares, blood moons, tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes, famines. There's going to be an increase in all of these things, which there is. There has been. It's been increasing steadily, and both the increase of severity and intensity. What about the fear? There's been an increase of fear of, and I've had more and more people worried. I see Tucker Carlson seems to be very concerned about us going to nuclear war with Russia. And Putin's telling you, you know, well, I'm not going to lose this thing. And if the world turns against me, then I'll do what I have to do. Let's start here. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and when they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, it's an interesting thing. The saints, the gathering of the saints, were often referred to as a cloud. So when he's talking about the Son of Man coming in a cloud, that is more likely the cloud of the saints coming with him. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees, and when they shoot forth, you shall know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see all these things come to pass, know you that the kingdom of God is at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away, till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And so here, he goes on to say, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the future, and he's talking about being accounted worthy, meaning that you have received Christ as your Savior, and you become part of the church, that you would be taken out before the tribulation period. Now you say, now wait a minute. Boy, I don't know. Jesus was certainly worthy, and all the apostles were certainly worthy, and they were crucified, and that's true. But you see, he was talking about this after his resurrection, after he defeated death and hell, and after the veil of the temple was rent. And so now, here, and in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in a mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him to in the temple to hear him. Now, I want to go over now to Second Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll get there in a minute. Folks, I am still having a lot of problems with these allergies. I'm still really under the weather with this hay fever. So if I sound a little groggy, it's because I am. Second Peter 3, verses 1 through 4. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us apostles, and of the Lord and the Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, not all things continue as they were. What we've seen since the beginning of creation, there's almost 1,800 prophecies being fulfilled. Remember that little thing called the flood, where about 8 billion people perished? Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, here, who does Joe Sixpack, who does he think did that? And so here, today, you have Klaus Schwab and his satanic aide have been scoffing about the existence of God. He has been making those of us that are looking for the Lord's return. He's been mocking us and mocking us. Satanic aide of his who's saying, there is no Jesus coming from behind the clouds. There is no God up there. We're God here. But boy, is he in for an extremely rude awakening. And here, so, God is, and people are always asking me, what's taking the Lord so long? Why hasn't he come back? Well, he is giving this lost world more, much more than ample time to repent. God is most, most merciful. And so he is giving this old world a lot of time to repent. Like in the days of Noah, Noah preached repentance for 120 years. And so what happened? People didn't pay attention. After preaching repentance for 120 years, only 8 people went to the ark and were saved. At the time that Peter was writing this epistle here, the writings of the Apostle Paul were already known all over. People were reading and talking about the Apostle Paul and his writings, and he was very well known. Now, all the signs of Christ's soon return, folks, are here. All of the signs, they're here right now. And so the question is, are you ready? Now, you folks out there listening to us, are you ready? Are you looking for his return? Because the Lord Jesus said he's coming back for those that are looking for his return. I want to take you over now to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we read this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, here, up until recent years, most people figured, well, he was referring to the soon coming of the Roman Catholic Church, where they would forbid their priests to marry, where they would forbid you to eat meat on Fridays, and they would have what they referred to these doctrines of devils, okay? But today, we're seeing other things. We're seeing the fact that Bill Gates and the Red Chinese government are the largest landowners in America today. Gates is buying up all the small farms he can buy up. He wants to shut them down. He wants to completely eliminate the eating of meat. That's right. He wants to completely eliminate that. And what has he done? Well, this maniac, he has created these factories where they grow what is supposed to be some form of a meat in petri dishes, and it's an artificial meat, and this is what they want us to eat. And folks, believe me, if you don't think that they would pull off Soylent Green, they would do it in a heartbeat. The Democratic Communist Party have lost all. There's nothing in the entire Democratic Communist Party out there now that is not completely corrupted. There's nothing. Their platform, everything. There's nothing that's too low for them to do now. Look at that bill, that abortion bill they just tried to pass. That shows you right there that they've gone completely and totally corrupted. There's nothing within that party that can be redeemed. And so here now, what else? Well, here, there's a big movement out there to totally destroy the institution of marriage and the family. Marriage and the family must be destroyed. They've come right out and said it. Like, ask Hillary. And this is why they've come and debased the marriage, the divine institution of marriage, by having sodomites, what they call sodomite marriage. Well, that's not marriage, folks. It's sodomy. It's sodomy. And so God, when he gave us the institution, that divine institution of marriage, he also gave us the definition. And the definition was one man, one woman for one lifetime, folks. That was the definition of marriage. That's what it was supposed to be. And so they want to destroy the definition of marriage in the family. When it talks about doctrines of devils, one of the doctrines, and you'll find in all of the apostate churches out there, in the apostate churches, is a woman has a right to kill her children. A woman does not have a right to kill her children. And the Constitution cannot give you a right to commit murder. And there's nothing in the Constitution that gives a woman a right to kill her children. That is from the pit of hell. It's a lie told by liars. A lie told by liars. And here also, the promoting, telling you that it's acceptable in these apostate churches, United Church of the Antichrist, the United Methodist, the Episcopal, many others, the Pilgrim, where it's acceptable, where they talk about God accepts sodomite marriages, and God accepts pedophilia. I mean, the entire Democratic Communist collective today is filled from top to bottom with pedophiles.
Excuse
And so, then you've got, if that's not bad enough, today you've got promoting this transgenderism thing, and promoting amongst the young girls genital mutilation. And also, you know, yeah, they're teaching. I just read an article here. We just had that where now it's some kind of strange push they're having for young women to remove their breasts, to have their breasts surgically removed. That's sick, folks. That is absolutely sick, and it's done by sick people, by very sick people. And, of course, today we know that witchcraft and Satanism are on the large. These are all signs, all of these things that we just talked about here, these are all signs of end times. Now, you notice it says here, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in later times. So here he's talking about later times during some period of the sixth dispensation period. And so, and you know, the other thing, I watched that movie tonight, 2,000 Mules. Boy, I'm going to tell you, you've got to get that movie, folks. You've got to show it in your church. And you know what? I think we ought all to send our Republican senators and congressmen a copy of that and ask them if they're going to watch it. And Fox News should be sent a copy of that. Bret Baier should be sent a copy of that. Especially Bret Baier should be watching a copy of that. And so I want to go over now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, here, we know that, it's an interesting thing because it starts out here, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, we're certainly seeing perilous times, not just here in America, but around the world. These are perilous times. That Antichrist in the White House has just recently cut off now the Alaskan pipeline. He's trying to totally bankrupt us all with the prices of gas and oil. Joe Obama Biden's mission is to destroy America, to reduce America to third world status. We've been telling people over and over and over. Now, some of them are starting to say, you know, now I finally see what you mean. Now, here he goes on to say, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, meaning narcissists. And covetous, those lovers of money, boasters and proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Boy, I'm going to tell you, you talk about without natural affection, what they're doing with these children now. You know, if you think that they all want to pass this legislation to where you can kill your baby, abort the baby after he's born, up to a month after he's born. Well, they would like to do it, to then extend that. Why? When you have a full a baby that was taken all the way to full term and born alive baby, that baby is worth thousands of dollars in his body parts to these evil Fauci-like beasts, these animals. These are animals that these University of Pittsburgh and other places where they experiment on these children. These are animals. These are real animals. Boy, I'm going to tell you, there's got to be a special hot place in hell. A special hot place in hell for these people. And so, here, when he says, and not just that, without natural affection, what more natural is it for a young man to fall in love with a young woman and for them to get married and have children? Well, they want to stop the institution of marriage altogether. They want to pervert that. And today, especially amongst these college girls, lesbianism is rampant. And so here, he goes on, and he says, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Well, here, you know, when you look at these things, you know, incontinent means unable to control yourself or violent. You become violent because you're unable to control yourself. And fierce despisers of those that are good. Boy, are they fierce despisers of those that are good. The left out there hates, I mean, they really hate those that are good. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. Now that's church houses is what he's referring to. That's what the early church used to be called, the church house. And lead captive silly women, laden with sins and diverse lusts. Well, if you look at the Word of Faith movement, the Charismatic movement, if you take a look at Joel Osteen, his congregation, and these Charismatic, Joyce, what's her name, so on and so forth, most of the women, most of the 80%, often it's as much as 80% of the people there, are women that are being led astray by these prosperity preachers and these false teachers. And the same thing, too, with like some of the pilgrim churches and United Church of the Antichrist. It seems like that's all they're ordaining now is women doing exactly the opposite of what God's Word, the Bible, allows. They're the Antichrist church. And so lesbianism is rampant within the United Church of the Antichrist. And so here, he goes on to say, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, that's because they're never learning the truth. They're never learning the truth. Now, as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Well, now I'm going to have to try to stretch my headset here and reach in and find me something to wet my whistle here. And I know I have something here somewhere. Okay, got it. So now I think I'm going to go over to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, okay, I passed it up, folks. I told you, I'm kind of drowsy tonight. Romans chapter 1, hold tight. I got to open this thing. Okay. Starting with verse 24 through verse 38. Oh, that feels good. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Well, here, people tend to believe lies that reinforce their own selfish personal beliefs. Well, like today, more than ever, we need to be careful about the input we allow to inform our beliefs. And I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. It's one of those big preaching days. And so today we're constantly bombarded by Antichrist attitudes out there everywhere you turn, and they're so it's nonstop. And why? Well, because the Antichrist knows his time is short. And so as we know that, as we see all of these things happening, we know again, like I said, that the Lord's return is ever close. Now, he goes on to say, wherefore God gave them over to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature. That creature is mankind, is man, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. The very first time the word abomination was used in Scripture was to condemn the act of sodomy. Sodomy is an abomination in the sight of God. Today they promote it. They push it in the public schools. LGBT, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers. This is, and Joe Obama Biden is 110% into this extremely sinful act. If it's an Antichrist sinful act, Joe Obama Biden is in it with both feet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being fulfilled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. This is, again, today, all of these things apply in spades to the Democratic Communist Party out there today. Without understanding and covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. And not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, I remember Abomination when he was running for office, and he was at Saddleback Church, Rick Warren's church. And he came out and he said, as far as my opinion is that marriage is only between a man and a woman. And here, I told you right then, that very time that he said that, I said, that will change the very minute that he gets elected, that will change. And that's exactly what happened for both him and Rick Warren. Both him and Rick Warren changed the very minute that sodomite, Barack Hussein Obama, got elected. And so here, I remember a woman who ran 5 abortion mills. Her name was Carol. And after she had gotten saved and come out of there, she told me, she said that whenever you hear these women say that, well, I personally would never have an abortion, I could never do that, but I'm not going to judge other women, or interfere with other women who want to do that. Well, she told me, she said, that's code. Whenever you hear a woman say that, then that means that they've had at least one. They've killed at least one baby. And Well, I want to go now to 1 John chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2, and that's not 1 John. Okay, starting with verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And here, when we look at this, and you ask yourself, well, what is the world? Now, some people think worldliness is limited to, just external behavior, maybe. The people we associate with, the places we go, the activities we enjoy. Worldliness is also eternal, for it begins in the heart. It is characterized by three attitudes: lust of the flesh, preoccupation with gratifying physical desires, that's what lust of the flesh is, materialism, lust of the eyes, craving and accumulating things, and three, the pride of life, obsessions with one's status of importance. And so, here, you know, when the serpent attempted Eve, he tempted her in all three of these areas. Also, when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, again, he used these three same areas. And so here, when we look at that, we read here, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, when our attachment to possessions is strong, it's hard to believe that we want, that we will one day pass away. It may be even harder to believe that the person who does the will of God will live forever, but this was John's conviction, and he's talking about having eternal life. If you're obedient to the Lord and you're saved, you will have eternal life. God said that. Now, I want to go over here to the book of Jude. And in the book of Jude, now Jude and James were brothers. They were the Lord's brothers. They were the Lord's brothers. And they wrote the book of Jude here. Jude did to warn of the danger of false teachers and to encourage true doctrines. The common salvation means that we're all saved the same way. And when you become a saint the very moment of your salvation, you don't become a saint after you've died and you become cannibalized or canonized. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved by Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Now here, this whole letter of Jude focuses on apostasy, when people turn away from God's truth and embrace false teachings. And folks, we're living in the time, there's never been a time in the history of this world where there's been greater apostasy than there is right now. The apostasy is overwhelming today. And so, Jude reminds his readers of God's judgment on those that left the faith in the past. This letter is a warning against false teachers. In this case, probably Gnostic teachers. We remember Jude going against a description of the Gnostic heresy. Gnostics opposed two of the basic tenets of Christianity, the incarnation of Christ and the call to Christian ethics. Jude wrote to combat those false teachings and to encourage true doctrine and conduct. And, of course, we know, again, like I said, Jude was the brother of James, who was one of the leaders in the early church. Both of these men were Jesus' half-brothers. Mary was their mother. Joseph was the father of James and Jude. Although Mary was Jesus' true mother, God was Jesus' true father. We knew that, right? So here Jude emphasizes the important relationship between correct doctrine and true faith. The truth of the Bible must not be compromised because it gives us real facts about Jesus' salvation. So he says this, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." Well, that was the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saints. It was once delivered, the Lord Jesus delivered the gospel of Christ to the saints. "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were of before, of old, ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains in their darkness unto the coming of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." And so here Jude gives three examples of rebellion. The children of Israel, although they were delivered from Egypt here, they refused to trust God and enter into the promised land. And then we see here the angels, which were once pure, holy, and living in God's presence. Some gave in to pride and joined Satan to rebel against God. And then in 2 Peter 2:4, in fact. And then three, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The inhabitants were so full of sin that God wiped them off the face of the earth. And that was in Genesis 19:1-29. So if the chosen people, angels, and the sinful cities were all punished, how much more would these false teachers today be severely, severely judged? He goes on to say, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Now, many people don't want to believe that God sentences people to hell, eternal fire, for rejecting him. But this is clearly taught throughout the scriptures. Sinners who don't seek forgiveness from God will face eternal separation from him. And Jude gives this warning to all who rebel against or ignore or reject God. Now, when it says eternal damnation, there are those out there that are teaching that the annihilation theory, that folks that, and they base it on one verse in Scripture that they misunderstood. And that is where Satan is kindled a fire from within, and he should be no more. He's talking about he shall no longer be in the type that he was, or the position that he was. But people and angels, we don't go out of existence. We just change real estate. Now, the Bible is very, very clear when it comes to Satan and the lost sinners. There is a lake of fire. And if we go to Revelation 21, for example, or 20, and read verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire with brimstone, and where the beast and the false prophet are, and he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Does that sound to you like he was simply annihilated and ceased to exist? That's what these false teachers are teaching. No. Here, going back to where I left off, he says, also, likewise, all these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. The dignities there is actually angelic beings. Angelic beings is what he's referring to. Yet Michael and the archangel, when contending with the devil and disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a rallying accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. Well, that's because Michael the archangel was working under the authority of Almighty God. He didn't have the authority in his own name. Because Satan was the most powerful angels that God created. But now, when he said, the Lord rebuke you, and he was doing that with full authority, that Satan has to back down. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things which they corrupt themselves. This is what's happening today. You see, just recently, you had one of these congresswomen come out and talking about the formula shortage and this and that. And she said to you pregnant women, just kill it. If you're pregnant, just kill it and go back to work. These people are wicked as wicked gets. I mean, they're wicked as wicked gets. And so, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsayings of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Well, these teachers, these false teachers, were twice dead. They were useless trees because they weren't producing any fruit because they weren't even believers. They would be rooted up and burned. That's what he's saying here. Clouds they are without water, carried about. Winds, trees whose fruit withereth. Without fruit, twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame. Wandering stars to whom it is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. And so here, he goes on to say, also Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Well, Enoch was mentioned briefly in Genesis 5, 21 through 24. Now, this question, you find the very same question in one of the apocrypha books, the book of Enoch, in fact. Other places where Jesus is mentioned as coming with his angels are Matthew, of course, and Daniel, and we know that that's gonna happen. And I don't know, I just feel that it's gonna happen in our lifetime, in my lifetime. And so here he goes on to say, he He goes on to say, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of his vantage. But, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that they should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, have builded up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some, having compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them down out of the fire. Pulling them down out of the fire, even a garment of spotted flesh. That's witnessing the gospel. That is getting people saved, in which we always give that invitation. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, the exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Well, there you go, folks. It's what he's telling you. That's what you do when you witness salvation, is you pull the people out of the fire. If you have not received Christ as your Savior, by now, you would find yourself in a burning lake of fire if you were to die in your sin. And, I mean, that's just the reality of it. That's what God has said. And you don't want to even put off for even another minute. You want to make sure. You want to make your salvation sure. You want to do like Jesus said. Pray to the Father and ask for forgiveness of your sins. Acknowledge the fact that Christ died upon the cross, a substitutionary death. He took our place. And he died a horrible death. It was a horrible, painful death, but he did it for you and I. It was required because he died for the sins. The Father had put the sins of the world upon him. And folks, he did that for us. He didn't have to. But what all you have to do is pray to the Father, ask forgiveness of sins, have the Lord Jesus as your Lord of your life, all of your life. And you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. And folks, let me tell you, it doesn't get any better than that, because you'll be on the road to eternal life. And that's that. And so, how much time do we have there?
Like 50 seconds.
All right, very good. Well, again, we're running out of time. That film, 2,000 Mules, it was a dynamite film, folks. We will have those available in the very near future. And so if I were you, I would make sure you obtain that and show it someplace. Let's show them. Let's show Fox News and all these people that have refused to acknowledge the stolen election. Well, we're out of time like we always are at this time, so until tomorrow, we want to say good night, God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.